Hello. Welcome to Bible Talk. This is a podcast where we're going to read the Bible.
And then we're not going to nap on it.
No.
We're going to talk about it.
We're going to talk about it.
It's a podcast for everyday people, just like me and you.
Okay.
So here we are in Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12.
Okay.
Do you want to read for us?
Yeah. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed.
All right, so I want to stop for a second and go back to verse 12,
okay.
Or verse 13. None of the rest dared to join them.
Yeah.
What do you think that means? Put you on the spot.
The apostles. Well, clearly the apostles were all in because they were performing signs and wonders. They were out. They were in it. We know at this point there were at least, there were thousands.
Yeah.
No one else dared join them. Well, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like there were disciples that were seized by fear.
Where do you get that from?
Because they wouldn't dare join in to what the apostles were doing.
Sure. And what precedes what we're reading right now?
Well, people dropped dead.
Yeah, the death of Ananias and Sapphira. Verses 1 through 11.
Yeah, for not, you know, being honest, yeah. Essentially.
So you do have a setback here.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like, at least a pause in the momentum of the church. Like, what is this?
Right. Did we just see what we think we saw?
Right. And
yeah.
So miraculous says in verse 12, signs and wonders were being done, continuing to be done through the hands of the apostles.
Yeah.
And it says by common consent. In other words, everyone was in on it. It wasn't just the apostles. They all agreed that they were going to meet at this Solomon's colonnade.
Right.
Right. But not everyone felt comfortable going.
Mm-mm.
I just think that's an interesting thing to note because, attendance didn't seem to be 100% compulsory.
Right.
And B, it doesn't seem like every meeting that they had was just super awe-inspiring and moving in kind of this really emotional way that made you just want to draw near and draw close and cuddle a picture of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting, certainly not by the people who had already come to the kingdom, but it says, nevertheless, even though there was this group of people who were like, ooh, I don't know, man.
Still growing.
There's some stuff that's...
By verse 14.
Yeah, they're continuing to grow and
believers
to multiply.
Were added in increasing numbers. So, you know, maybe there's something to the none of the rest dared join them. And I don't know who the rest is inclusive of, but just thought that was a very interesting little note that caught my attention.
And it says
and this is Bible talk. We talk about
we're just talking about it. That's all. And I think the interesting thing too, it says, even though they were highly regarded by the people, are they talking about the apostles were highly regarded? Even though the apostles were highly regarded, no one else dared join them? Or were the people who didn't dare join them highly regarded by the people?
Hmm.
You know, because that's an interesting dynamic.
It changes the meaning quite a bit.
It does, because if they are people who were highly regarded by all of the people in the area that they were in near Solomon's colonnade, and they didn't dare join, then you have the potential of people who were influencers who were like, ooh, I know we're highly regarded, but this is hot heat right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Should I pick up in verse 17?
Yeah, maybe after just one last thing. In verse 16 says the crowds gathered around and people would just bring their sick and those who were tormented and just lay them out there in hopes that the apostles would come by and heal them. So it's clear that there was a real reverence for and recognition of the power that was circulating amongst
the early church. Jesus, so
miraculous signs and wonders were a huge part of the beginning of Christianity.
Absolutely. I think it underscored, this is true. This is true. This is right. You can trust in this.
And so it did. It really did. And I think what sometimes gets wondered now is, where did that go?
Right.
Right. Why isn't that as present, or why isn't it present even at all on that miraculous of a level in modern Christianity?
I mean, the news wouldn't stop talking about it.
Right. And we do see that, you know, there are offshoots or, you know, portions of people who live under the Christian umbrella who do purport miracles and signs and wonders. And I don't think we can dismiss those completely out of hand, but we also, you know, we've come to learn that a lot of them are coerced and faked and farcical. And farcical. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the fact that you'd have to fake it is, it's kind of a head scratcher. It's like, who are you lying to?
Right. Anyway, exactly. But, you're lying to the Spirit of the Lord, and look what happened.
Yikes, to Ananias and Sapphira. Earlier in chapter 5.
Yeah.
All right, we'll pick it back up in verse 17.
Okay. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, right out in the open, and tell the people all about this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and the associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported. We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came in and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name," they said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood."
All right, let's pause there.
Okay.
So you'll remember in, I think it was chapter 4, the apostles are questioned by the authorities and told not to teach, and they say, "Hey, can't do that. Got to obey God rather than men."
Right.
And then after they sent them on their way, one from amongst the religious, you know, elites stood up, Gamaliel, and said, "Hey, look, if they're not from God, then that'll be found out in time. But if they are from God, whatever measures we take aren't going to work, and we're going to find ourselves only fighting against God." So clearly they didn't fully embrace what Gamaliel told them, because here they are a chapter later trying to round them up and arrest them and by force get them to stop preaching.
Right.
Now, we give this podcast or make this podcast sitting here in Appleton, Wisconsin, which is the American home of the great Harry Houdini.
Right?
So when you see what happened here, they had them securely locked a jail cell. And then the next thing you know, they weren't in there anymore. Houdini did that kind of stuff all the time. But that was because there were only like 3 or 4 different brands of locks back
and
in his day.
And he had all of them.
And he knew how to pick them all.
right.
So he would go into the jail cell with a pick concealed somewhere and he'd get himself out. These guys were guarded and locked and yet found themselves back out And they didn't waste the opportunity. What did they do when they got back out there?
Straight up in the temple courts.
Went right back to preaching.
They had something better than a key. They had an angel.
That's right. They went right back to preaching, immediately doing the thing that they were told not to do.
Right.
That is, like the kids like to say these days, that is boss.
That's fire.
Yeah.
That's fetch.
Pretty cool.
Okay. So we'll start in, there we go, verse 29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." Ooh, that's a good one. "The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins."
Okay, pausing again.
Okay.
So in verse 28, before you started the reread here, it says, "We gave you orders not to do this.
Right.
You filled Jerusalem with teaching." And then this last part, "You're determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." They're talking about Jesus's blood.
Right.
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 And so they address that straight away.
Yeah, they did.
In verse 30, when it says, you know, "The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead," parenthetical, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. Yeah, you're guilty of this man's blood.
Right.
Bingo. Yahtzee. You got it.
Right. Yeah.
And then in verse 31, importantly, didn't matter that that was your intent, because God had a different intent with it. God exalted him, made him prince and savior, and so that he might bring a couple of things. Repentance.
Right.
Right. Which is a different way of thinking, a change of mind and heart.
Right.
And this other thing, really important, forgive sin.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Keep on going.
Okay. "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named...
See, I was wrong about the Gamaliel. Here it comes.
But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. He called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped preaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah.
All right. So Gamaliel appears to say, "Hey, guys, you've seen fakers before."
Yeah.
And they fizzled out. So if these guys are fakers, I think they'll fizzle out. But if they're not, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. Interestingly, it says in verse 40, his speech persuaded them, right?
Right.
But I don't know how fully persuaded they were.
Yeah.
Because
let's beat them.
They decided to beat them anyway. So they flogged them and then released them. So maybe it was a compromise of sorts.
I don't know. But I mean, knowing what you know archaeologically and historically about flogging, I mean, that's... People can die from that.
Very serious punishment.
And so the idea that here they are stripped and beaten, and that they leave there rejoicing because they had been counted worthy, mind blowing.
So their attitude, they did the right thing.
Yes.
They were in chapter 4, told to knock it off, didn't knock it off.
Right, yeah.
Got arrested in chapter 5. We're told to knock it off again. Right? Got jailed. Escaped from the jail with the assistance of an angel. Went right back to preaching.
Yeah.
Got rounded up again. Were beaten. So they just keep doing what they're supposed to do, yeah. And they keep on suffering negative consequences because of it. And their attitude is what?
Rejoicing. They're full of joy.
Yeah, why?
Verse because 41. They've been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Like the idea of suffering while innocent, I think they saw as an offering on the altar, number one. It's a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. But I think also the fact that their names now and their actions are associated with the suffering of Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so Jesus, similar fate. So there's a level of what happened to Jesus, as awful as it was, is happening to us. This is some level of indication that we're participating in that ministry with Jesus, and something about what we're doing is reminding people of Jesus.
Right. Yep.
And so then day after day in
they
the
never
temple,
stopped.
Right?
Can't
and
stop, won't stop.
Also from house to house, mm-hmm. right? Maybe for the people who don't come out to the marketplace or the temple court.
Right.
Let me go house to house, but they never stopped trying to share the good news or the gospel
right.
about Jesus. Which is
a beautiful thing.
It's a great example for us to follow.
Absolutely.
Just because things get difficult with sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because maybe the receptivity isn't what we hoped it would be, or the reception True. Isn't what we hoped it would be. That's not a hardship enough for us to go, well, I'm just going to stop.
I mean,
these guys
done.
Were getting rounded up and beaten.
Right.
And yet, with joy, mm-hmm. still got out there and shared.
Yeah, it's very inspirational. Upward call for sure. Okay. Thanks again for joining us, and per our usual reminder,
do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says.